On today's episode, with another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and this time we are talking about Toy Story Land. This is episode 135 of the Diz Dudes podcast.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of...
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee, and I am joined, as usual, by my trusty co-host, Mr. Jeremy, I guess we'll call Cherry Pie Stein, because it rhymes, but we were talking about pies during the pre-show, so Jeremy, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fine. Hopefully you won't hear any background noise from either a storm that's coming through or our neighbor who's getting a pool and they're putting in like the big screening cover today. And they set up right outside, like just right behind me, basically on the other side of this wall is where they're doing all of the cutting of like the metal and the beams and everything
to put this up.
So, and I tell you who loves it is the dogs. They don't spend all day barking at these guys at all. It's just lovely. Nah. It's one of dogs the other benefits of working from home. Surround sound.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the good news is I haven't heard any of that in your mic yet. So that part's good. Yeah.
It should. I don't think it would pick up, but
yeah. Storm wise, I think it's supposed to storm here about any time. That's what
it was thundering like crazy. And then it like just stopped, I think, before we hopped on the live with Club 32. Cause every time it's like right around this time, I'm just like, please don't let something brush through that's going to take out the internet in the middle of recording because our internet, like our power tends to be a little finicky. So I'm like, come on, hold off. Wait till 4 or something. Then we're good.
Yeah. Here lately, it's like, I mean, I know it's Florida, but like every afternoon it just rains. Like I can't actually mow my backyard right now because it's all like the whole backyard is a swamp. Like you go back there and it's still just, so the front yard is mowed because that's not a swampy, but the backyard is, yeah, it's just like if you try and take a mower back there, it just sinks into it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, okay. Well, yeah. Backyard will just grow for a bit, but pre-show we were talking about Club 32 about where did we talk about pies, and then one of the members took it a weird direction, and then working from home, all sorts of things, it goes sideways, but
yeah.
Today we are going to talk about some of our feelings on Toy Story Land, the good, bad, and the ugly. As I don't think we've discussed it much. We've obviously discussed more Galaxy's Edge. And Toy Story kind of gets overlooked a bit because, you know, it was sort of that land that was... It opened, but everyone was waiting for Galaxy's Edge.
Right. So it was like it was to hold people off, basically.
Yeah. People were like, well, here's this land. And they're like, oh, okay, fine. But when's the other one coming? So,
yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today. Is there anything else we need to discuss that I'm not thinking of before we get into the meat of the episode?
Not that I can think of. Ready for the meat.
Apple of the episode, if this is a pie.
You can have that for
underrated pie
after we eat the meat.
Is a McDonald's apple pie. I know we talked about this, but it's underrated. Even though they changed it. I think they changed it a few years ago.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know why.
I haven't had one in decades.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. Before we get to the episode or the meat of the episode, I just want to remind you to check out some of the other shows on the Caption Magic Network. We've got the Caption Magic podcast, myself and my lovely wife, Jamie, every Thursday. We have Main Street Magic with Jeremy and Rhonda every Tuesday. And then Jamie has Trip Tales, which is coming back, and there'll be at least one episode per month there. And you get early access to those episodes in Club 32. Those will come out about a week ahead of time, so get early access if you're in Club 32. And, of course, if you want to be part of Club 32, join the live streams like, you know, we have right now. And, you know, before we go live with Diz Dudes, before we start recording, plus in-park live streams, cooking shows, all sorts of stuff. You can go to ctmvip.com to check that out. Like, for instance, this week, Jeremy's going to have his brother back on for a Club 32 exclusive sort of, is it kind of like a Q&A thing?
Yeah.
If you don't know who Jeremy's brother is, he is a public speaker. He's good. Jeremy and I both work with him, so he's a solid fella, and he's a good guy. So you get extra stuff in there, and then we've got a podcast feed that will go on, plus we have extra stuff. So like the early Trip Tales go on the podcast feed. We've got some Disney music on the podcast feed, like park music and other stuff like that. So go check that out, ctmvip.com. And if you are looking to plan a trip soon, if you're listening to this and going, well, I want to go to Toy Story Land now, go to travelwithzip.com, fill out a quick form there, tell them what you're looking to do, and they will get you hooked up with an agent and help you plan a great trip. And basically, they'll take care of all the stuff that's not the fun part about going to Disney or Universal, and they'll just take care of that part for you because you just want to have the fun part. They take care of all the other stuff, and then you just go have fun. And you don't have to pay for it because Disney and Universal pays for it. So I don't know why you wouldn't do it. So anyways, travelwithzip.com. So, all right. Normally, when we do one of these, either good, the bad, and the ugly, or like a keep it, fix it, or burn it, we have a little bit of a history about the land. But since this is a brand new land, I don't really believe we need the history side. This was built, when did this open? 2018?
I should know that because we were there, and I don't even know what today is, but May would have just been its anniversary. Is May just 2 years, I want to say?
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Or May, June was just its anniversary of 2 years.
Yeah, so that's the history of it. There you go. It was built in 2018.
That's
there you
it.
Go. And it was built before Galaxy's Edge, and it's in Hollywood Studios, and we're going to talk about it. So there you go. That's kind of the history part of it. So we usually start, so it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We usually start with the ugly, and we work our way to the good because we like to end things on happy notes and not be, we don't want to be Debbie Downers. So what is your ugly about Toy Story Land?
Mine actually, I always think of ugly as something that could be fixed, like potentially easily. So mine's actually Woody's lunchbox, only because it is a nightmare to order from there. Now, you know, pre and hopefully post COVID, I'm talking crowds. You got two registers. It's the only place to really eat currently before the barbecue place opens up. You know, who knows when in Toy Story Land, they've got two registers. Seating is hard to come by. You're all squished in that one area as people like line in the queue and rope around. And it's just like, I love the food there. I love the breakfast, but a lot of times it's a nightmare, and mobile order doesn't go very smoothly there. I'm hoping that that mobile order there will smooth out. But even prior to everything, we did mobile order a few times and it was a wreck because there's not a mobile order specific window. So you're still kind of butting in, and there's all these people just standing there waiting for their food. There's like 4 feet between the register and the pickup window, unlike a lot of quick service where you're kind of fed through and maybe another little bit of a line. And it just, it's a nightmare getting food from there. And I think it's something they could have easily fixed, you know, before they opened it. But that's kind of really my only true ugly from there that I feel. So,
yeah, Woody's Lunchbox, if good food.
Yeah.
It's a cool little spot, but you're right. It's just, it's so small. It's almost impossible to get a seat there under normal conditions. Like if it's a normal busier day in Toy Story Land, I mean, you've got to like scout out to get a seat.
Yeah.
If not, a lot of times you're doing like a, you know, food and wine festival and you're eating on top of trash cans and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You would think the way they built that, a dedicated quick service or a mobile pickup window would be a thing, but yeah, it makes it a weird thing because then you basically have to like either stand in line with everybody else or you kind of do that weird butt thing, and then it's it's kind of a mess,
and nobody understands that, like, you know, so if somebody's waiting for their food that they ordered at the regular register, first of all, they just stand there, like it doesn't matter when they just stand there, and you're like, yeah, I have mobile order, and you're right, you're trying to like get in front of them, and then they're giving you a dirty look, and you're like, no, I'm supposed to be here, and it's just, it's a mess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Food good, but it's kind of a mess over there. And it's just so small. You would have thought they would have given it more room in there.
Right.
And I think that kind of leads into my ugly is kind of more than one. So my ugly is, to me, it was basically this thing was just sort of thrown together. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not a nice land. It does have things that are nice about it. But you can tell either funding was cut or they just didn't put much in terms of the budget into this. So things like lack of shade, no air conditioning outside of stuff that's already there, a la Midway Mania or Toy Story Mania. It's a very hot land. Mm-hmm. So when it's hot outside, there's not a lot of shade. They have put up those little umbrella things along the way. But, you know, you're used to it, Disney, going into a ride, you're going to get into some AC. You're going to be able to cool off or go into a restaurant and cool off. There's really, outside of Toy Story Mania, which was already there, there's nothing that does that. So it's just one of those things where in the middle of the summer, it's hot. Like, it's just flat out hot in there. You don't get any reprieve really other than shade. Like, you know, Slinky Dog Dash, the Alien Swirling Saucers, even Woody's Lunchbox. Those are all outside. So that's kind of my ugly, and that's not something that they're, at least in the near future, going to be able to fix. I mean, that'd be something that would have to be a huge overhaul, and I don't see that happening. So for me, that would be the ugly, just that aspect of it. You know, you expect, if you're going to Disney in July, you know, let's say June through August through September, somewhere around there, you expect it to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
But you do also usually expect some reprieves, typically. Like, if you're in Pandora, you know if once you go right into Flight of Passage, air conditioning. Same thing with all this other stuff, like the food. So in there, it's the only land that is like that, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they sacrificed functionality for theming, you know, because that's always been the thing as well. Andy built this in his backyard, which is outside, and he's not going to make Slinky Dog Dash with an indoor AC place. Okay, well, you gotta balance theming versus functionality, because no other land does this. Every other land is able to theme well and still function with things like shade and AC, and it probably was budgetary. It was almost like they just kind of gave up here, like, let's just tell people it's the theming, and we forgot to put this in.
Well, I feel like the theming is an easy little cop-out.
Yeah.
You go, well, Andy wouldn't have AC. Well,
right.
Technically, neither would Pandora. Like, Pandora's not going to have AC Frontierland's not going to have AC. So the fact that they've got AC in Pecos Bills is not actually, you know, on theme. So I feel like that argument is, while you could, not you, but I'm saying, like, Disney using that as an argument is kind of like a little bit of a, like, really? Like,
right. Yeah. Because you can still be functional. And nobody, you're right. Nobody's going to be like, wait a second. I'm in line for this roller coaster that Andy built and I'm cool. That would never happen.
You're not going to be in line and be like, I really enjoy this land, but I tell you
Andy did install miniature fans, which is really impressive. I don't know where he got those tiny fans from to stick in there, but I think
he saved his money. He did some electrical work. You know, it's like, I would really enjoy this land, but this cooling off and this air conditioning is just really taking me out of my element. Nobody's saying that. So,
well, and you know what? And I'm going to piggyback on that to keep a little bit with that theming thing that I think, I understand why they did it, but at the same time, it destroys all theming, is that you have the meet and greets of characters, and then you have larger than life still characters. So you walk in and you can meet Woody, who is 6 feet tall, but then there's a 20-foot tall Woody behind him. So that one, to me, like, are we trying to believe, if they were really that serious about theming, that, I know you can get like toys in different sizes, like you can get an action figure, you know, Buzz Lightyear, and then get a whatever, like doll size Buzz Lightyear. That's what they'd have to go with. And so why have, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't fit. So if you're going to try and play the theming, then they should not have character meet and greets inside of Toy Story Land. They just flat out, there shouldn't be in there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little surprised how they do them too. I mean, you've got that one area with Woody and Jessie.
Yeah.
But Buzz is, it's kind of like off on the side thing. I mean, I think meet and greets under normal circumstances are something, like, our daughter absolutely loves them. So it would just come down to that thing of, like, don't have, it is kind of weird though to have that. I never really thought about it, but it, I mean, that's a little bit from a theming standpoint. You've got duplicates, which usually Disney is very much on top of all that. Like, they don't really have that. So that's a good point.
Yeah. That was just
touche.
Touche.
All right. Let's go into the bad. So what is your bad? Was that your bad?
No, my bad is ASS. I mean, alien swirling saucers. Like, we actually enjoy it. I mean, if it's a short wait, I enjoy it. It makes me laugh. It's fun to whip around. You're like, haha, this was cool. But this should not have gone in a brand new land that was built 2 years ago. Plain and simple, with no new innovation or technology, you know, from whatever, Tomater's Junkyard Jamboree out west. I mean, it was a copycat ride that yeah, should not have happened in the year 2018. Like, I don't think anybody would disagree with that, even if you love it.
Yeah, that's actually my bad, too, because I was going to say it's a ride that is brand new that looks like it's been there for 15 years, because it has aged terribly.
Yes.
And this goes back to my budgetary thing of this is obviously a ride that was super cheap to make.
Yeah.
And even Slinky Dog Dash, while I do enjoy Slinky Dog Dash, it's not a revolutionary ride. It's basically just a basic roller coaster, essentially. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, our daughter likes Alien Swimming Saucers, mm-hmm. but again, it's a very short ride. It's all outside. It looks just beat up. I mean, even the queue walking through, there's stuff in there that has been broken for I know pre-COVID and then going back in that line, it's still broke.
Yeah.
Or chipped up. So it's not really maintained well. And part of the problem, I think, with maintaining it is it's always outside. And I think this is the problem with Toy Story Land going forward is I don't feel like this land will age well because so much of it is constantly just getting hit with the elements.
Yeah.
Whether it's heat, rain, whatever. So I won't be surprised if 5 to 10 years go by and this thing looks quite a bit more aged than what you would assume.
Right.
But yeah, Alien Swimming Saucers is just, again, it's not that you can't have a ride like that. It's enjoyable. When you got a brand new land, it's a bit underwhelming. And I think I know what they did. I mean, you've got Midway Mania, which is, or Toy Story Mania, which is, I love that ride. It's a fun ride. It's got tons of re-rideability all the time. Slinky Dog Dash is a nice addition. It's a cool, fun roller coaster. So I get, like, you've already got other two rides in there, so this is, like, the lower tier, which I get. But when you're opening a new land, you kind of expect a certain level, I suppose, of ride. And that one just kind of, you're just like, really?
Yeah, it falls flat. I mean, but think about if other than placement of where it is, and if somebody had any sense of how you would build, like, a new land, if you took somebody in there that knew nothing and said, hey, there's three rides here. I want you to ride all three. And I want you to tell me which two are the new ones that opened in 2018 and which is the one that's been here for over a decade. Every single person would go, this Swirling Saucer one has been here for a long, long time, right? And you'd be like, nope, that's not the way
without
it
Without a doubt.
And they'd be shocked.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Which is weird. I mean, that, you know, I do enjoy it, but it's kind of like, you know, we go back to things like, you know, Small World and stuff. I mean, there's enough technologies now that if you open a ride exactly like Small World today, you'd be like, well, wait a second. You just opened something like, I mean, say what you will about Navi River Journey. I understand it's very Small World-like, but at least it's using, you know, amazing audio animatronics, and it's using some different layered screens and some 3D visuals. I mean, it's actually progressed. But if you look at you know, Swirling Saucers, and you're like, yeah, this is an old school carnival ride. And I think, again, I think that goes back to that Disney could play off well and go, well, you know what? We're so good at theming that this is a ride that Andy won at Pizza Planet that he took out of the box and he plugged in and set up, and there it is. And that's why it's that way. Like, I have a feeling somebody would say that to you, and you'd be like, no, I'm not accepting.
They'd probably try. the thing with this, too, is like, if this thing is more than, oh, geez, like a 15-minute wait, I will do what I can to talk my daughter out of wanting to ride it at that moment. I mean,
for sure.
You know, like it was not the other day. I think we rode it, and it was about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It said 30, but it moved quicker. But it's just, I mean, the whole queue is just, I mean, at least Slinky Dog, you're not in the sun a lot of it. Mm-hmm. It's hot, but you're in the shade. You have fans. This one, a lot of the aspects of it can be directly in the sun.
Yes.
And those fans are kind of like just blowing some hot air on you. But
Well, yeah, even that, I mean, I know that right now all of it would be shut down, but there was a lot of chances to have interactive gaming and stuff within the queue at this ride. Now, again, that would be shut down right now, but there were plenty of, like, there's a giant switch that you can't even press and switch. Like, there could have been so many things that you could have interacted with while you're waiting, and there's next to none. I think there's one or two little things you can kind of turn or spin that really doesn't produce any sort of outcome, and I think that's even where they missed. I mean, you could help the entire ride if they had made an interactive queue, And they just, yeah, they missed out on that part too. So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
And it's not, I've seen some comments from people in Club 32. It's not that, like, my daughter loves it.
Mm-hmm.
I ride it with her. I enjoy it because she enjoys it. Obviously, yes. It's not that I don't enjoy riding the ride with her. My whole thing on this is you could have done so much more.
Yeah.
I mean, given it's Toy Story, I feel like just what they did, which is very vanilla. Right. It was just sort of like, well, here's this thing we already have here. We'll just do it. It's super cheap. Like, you know, a dark ride. There's so much stuff you could do that, you know, I just feel like out of all the things potentially you could do, it was very much just sort of, again, I think it comes down to funding, budgetary. They were building Galaxy's Edge at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard things about, you know, Toy Story Land's budget was, a lot of it was pulled and pushed over into Galaxy's Edge because obviously that was the bigger thing, which very well, I don't know if that's true. It makes sense if it is true. And so it very much, again, not that it's not an enjoyable land, but to me, if that's what happened, I could kind of see it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what it comes down to, especially you're talking about an IP like Toy Story is one of the most successful franchises Disney has ever had.
Yeah.
And so when you say they're going to get their own land, I think in your mind, you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be a certain, you know, way. And it just a little bit underwhelming, I think.
Yeah.
At least on that side of things.
Yeah. But, well, it comes back out to payoff. We talk about that all the time. You know, we're not saying that Swirling Saucers isn't a fun ride, but it doesn't have the payoff depending on the wait. Same way, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is a great ride. Is the payoff worth waiting an hour and a half? I don't think so. And I think this is the same way. Like you said, anything over 15 minutes, I just don't think the payoff is potentially worth it in the end. So, again, we like the ride. It isn't what it should have been.
Right. And the only thing that makes any difference in that is, like, if your kids enjoy it, obviously you're like, okay, from an adult perspective. So, and I think that's, too, where Disney can get away with it, too, is go, well, it's for kids and it's for little kids. You're like, okay. You know, it's like our daughter wanted to ride Small World twice in one day, and we rode it with her because we love her, but it's like, dear God, why? Don't do this. But so, but yeah, I understand that. So,
yeah.
All right, well, let's go to a, you know, happy side of things, and what is your good, or if you have multiple goods, about Toy Story Land?
Yeah, I mean, I have one main good. I do love Slinky Dog Dash. I think it's a great family coaster. It is a blast, but Toy Story Mania is one of the best rides in all of Disney World. It has complete rewrite-ability every time. It's got gaming aspects. Even though it's old, you feel like it's new. And and that's tough. By the, even the technologies. I mean, I know they could probably improve a little bit, but the 3D still looks really good. The response is still good. It makes Space Ranger Spin over at Tomorrowland look like garbage. I mean, that's how good this ride is. I mean, it's fun for the whole family, which fits in, and all three of these rides are good for most everyone in the family. You know, Slinky Dog certainly is gonna have a height restriction, but everything else is pretty good. And it's crazy to me that this is the oldest ride in the land and it's still the best.
I agree with that. I think I love Toy Story Mania. I mean, it's right up my alley with I'm competitive, I like games. Yeah. Like it's you know, I wrote it twice when I was in Hollywood Studios the other day, because I wrote once by myself and then once Jamie and the kids showed up. And it is nice. You can take the whole family on it, which is a cool aspect to it. And I think that's the other good about this land, too, is it's very, you know, for the most part, there's stuff for all ages, you know. Yeah. And so, obviously, Slinky Dogs get, like you said, the height restriction. But for a, like, beginner coaster, it's not a bad beginner coaster.
Because
we're getting to the point with our daughter about, do we want, you know, maybe she'll ride it. She's kind of iffy. So eventually she'll ride it. I don't know if she'll like it. But it's a good family area. For what the budgetary restraints are, it is themed well.
Yeah.
You know, like down to the handrails being like those connector sort of plastic things. You know, Slinky Dog Dash is very much, you go through there and it's like, you know, the toy was opened up. So the theming for what they... Probably for whatever they had budget-wise left over, they did what they could, and it's enjoyable. But midway, you know, or Toy Story Mania, I still think, even though that's the oldest ride there, which at one point, that was a headliner at Hollywood Studios a bit. I mean, that was the ride. It's still, to me, the most, definitely the most rewritability, and I think the most enjoyable out of all of them. Because it's actually, too, when it's hot, you go in there, that thing feels fantastic, because it is... I mean, it's the only AC spot in the entire land.
Right.
And Slinky Dog, it's a good coaster. I like it. I mean, obviously, I'm not a big roller coaster person, so for me, it's fine. In the theme, you know, it's a unique coaster. It's pretty simplistic, but it does have that sort of like part where he backs up and slingshots himself, and so it's got some stuff in there that's very Toy Story-ish. But yeah, I mean, one thing about the land, I would say, either good or bad, is that it's not going to take you an entire day in here.
No, I don't know.
That can either be good or bad, depending on what your point of view. But it is kind of nice with little ones, and you can basically go in here and within a couple of hours do most of it and then go do some other stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Some people probably don't like that. Another good thing, too, is when you know, get done in here, you can go into – this is an entrance into Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
So you can go straight into there or come out of Galaxy's Edge. I haven't really – it was interesting coming out. So I did Galaxy's Edge first when I was in there last week, and Toy Story Land was busy. Busier than what Galaxy's Edge seemed like, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
But Rise was down. And I think maybe that's the thing with Galaxy's Edge too, is if Rise is down, you know, most people with, when it comes to Millennium Falcon, maybe if they've ridden it once or twice, they don't really care to ride it again, sort of thing. So that's sort of interesting as that land ages, how do people tend to traffic it?
Because
obviously people want to ride Rise, but that thing, if you don't get a boarding pass, it's not like you can just wait around to ride it.
So, but
that was a little surprising because I came out of there and I was like, oh, it's way busier in Toy Story Land than it was Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
But you can ride all the stuff in Toy Story Land.
Right.
Most of the waits was 15 to 20 minutes. So... but yeah, so any other good you can think of?
No, but I have a question for you. If we do this show, this exact same one in the future, after the barbecue joint has opened, where do you predict it will fall? Will you think it'll fall under good, bad, or ugly?
Oh, man. The
based on what we know, which isn't a lot, but we have seen some artist renditions that put me into sheer anxiety.
The artist renditions to me, if that was like, if you made a painting, it would just been said migraine.
Yeah.
Like it just looks so loud, like visually, and I'm sure auditorially it's just going to be loud.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the food quality will be not as good as Regal Eagle and somewhere in the flame tree.
Yeah,
in that range. I mean, if it's got air conditioning, I think it's a welcome addition.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. I don't think a food place can hurt unless it's just bad food.
Right.
So for me, I would say this is a good addition that helps with the land. Depending on where it go, how it's going to look, where I know where it's going to go. I just don't know how that's going to look when it goes in. Being at the entrance there could be interesting with like people waiting to get in there and stuff like that. Cause it's not a super, I mean, it's a walkway. If you've never been in a Toy Story Land, it's sort of a walkway to get in there and it can get cramped up. You get people wanting to take pictures with Woody. And at the same time, if Buzz Lightyear's got his meet and greet going on, that whole area can be kind of, you know, a little tight. So they've also got a food joint in there. That entrance could be a little crowded. What do you think? Do you think it'll be a welcome addition?
I think it'll definitely be a welcome addition. I think you're right. If they can make everything else about it, I mean, the food should be good. 100% the food should be good. I have a feeling it will not be the best, but if they can make everything around it make up for that and not make it an auditory explosion in your face, I think that like I kind of would, because I it's off the path enough where I don't think it has to fit within the land, which again was, why isn't there a Pizza Planet? Well, you can't put Pizza Planet because it would be full size, not toy size. Therefore it doesn't fit. This could have been an opportunity for a Pizza Planet, without the arcade aspect, because I do think you get in, they don't want an arcade aspect that takes people out of the parks and that type of thing. You could get them spending money, but I think it's too much to say, hey, let's have an arcade where people want to hang around. Like, you'd have to put a time limit on it, which would just be too much. But I think it was a good, possibility for a Pizza Planet. Or I almost think of it being kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese. Like, it could have been, like, with a show, like a stage show, as opposed to maybe walk-around characters of some sort that, like, Andy is putting on a stage show for you while he sets you up like in this restaurant or something, and maybe that'll what it'll be. I mean, we still don't know enough, but if they can get the food at least about where I would say Hoop-Dee-Doo Review is, I think they'll do well.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually kind of glad, given Disney's track record with pizza, that they're not attempting another pizza place.
No, this is very good. This is true.
That would just be horribly disappointing.
Yes.
unless Disney just... Which, again, I don't understand what's so hard about this. Like, I feel like they could go out and find some chef and just be like, hey, man, like, give us a recipe for some decent pizza.
Right.
And you could just do that everywhere. But apparently that's become a very difficult thing for Disney.
I know.
Even like a CeCe's pizza. Like, I'd take that over.
I mean, there's still frozen pizzas that you can buy in the store that are delicious. They're not bad. And
you
they
could
even find that
kitchen.
Route.
Yeah, California pizza one. Like, those are fine.
And
like,
you could charge. If you said, all right, here it is. Here's Pizza Rizzo's featuring California Pizza Kitchen pizzas. You could charge twice as much for them, and people would buy twice as many, I feel like. So,
I
don't know.
Yeah, it costs you $5. You charge 15.
Yep.
Everyone's like, well, this pizza's better than I remembered it. You're like, there
you
go.
It's a win-win. Yep.
I agree. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think, and as somebody said in the comment too, as long as it's not bad, it's a welcome addition. Now, if it's, and I feel like maybe the barbecue thing, they figured something out with, you know, Regal Eagle. Because, I mean, say what you will, Regal Eagle's not polite pig, but it's definitely...
It's a good addition.
It's a good addition. As quick service goes, it's a nice quick service addition. So, I think... Now, is this one a table service?
Yes. As far, I mean, as far as I have been able to tell, it is a character dining table service. So then that would make me think it's going to be family style along the lines of an Ohana. I mean, if it was going to be a buffet... That's probably scrapped, and they're going to move to a family style anyway. But I don't know that it's an a la carte, you know, you order your own entree, whatever. I think it's going to probably be a family style with roaming characters.
And doing it that way, you know, the food, not that they always are. Sometimes Disney tends to, you know, you're there for the characters, not as much the food. Right. But I mean, the expectation would be if you're paying $35 to $55 per person, which I'm guessing that's going to be the price range on this. That's pretty typical for Disney. That food needs to be better than Regal Eagle or the other stuff. It's got to be a step above, or you would hope. But a lot of times I think Disney knows, like, well, you're basically paying to be able to take pictures with Woody and Buzz and Jessie and all this stuff like that.
Right.
So in an ideal world, it would be more on the level of Polite Pig. Because you can make an argument, Polite Pig is quick service at Disney Springs, but it's just really, really good.
Yeah, it's like dressed up like a table service. Like like it put on a tuxedo, but it's, you know, should have worn like, I don't know, just shirt and tie. So,
that's a good analogy. It's a good way to put it, Jeremy.
There we go.
So, well, I guess we'll check Club 32 and see if anybody agrees with us about their good, bad, and the ugly, or if they were even talking. I don't know what, look in the comments here and see what, if there's anything that's, that we can put on the show. Because sometimes Club 32 goes sideways.
Get a little spicy.
Yeah. Jess said, I'm glad they didn't do another Dumbo-esque ride with aliens swirling saucers. At least it's different.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, it is different for Disney World. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have the exact same ride out of Disneyland.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Guy says, there was so much potential for a dark ride in this land. They could update with each movie that comes out. They probably should have made a Pixar land instead.
I will not disagree with a Pixar land. I mean, you know, and we've talked about a lot of connecting, you know, the back end of Rock and Roller Coaster and changing that over and filling in that back walkway to connect Toy Story Land and having like smaller lands for some of the Pixar stuff. But no, I can agree with that. I'd be on board with that.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised they did. I mean, I know Toy Story is a big franchise, but I feel like if you did a Pixar, it gives you so much more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
To do something. But again, it had the theming of it, so maybe that's what they, you know, they want to have a full land. So, Kat said, Alien Swirling Saucers is really good with the Christmas theming.
I do like the Christmas overlay and the music.
I agree. I mean, it's kind of built for that because they kind of have the Christmas lights up all the time. So, it's kind of a great spot to be for that sort of thing.
Very much so.
Susan says, my daughter loves swirling saucers and enjoys it so much, which makes me really enjoy riding with her.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Allie says, those simple rides are nice for younger kids, though. Not to say a more high-tech ride couldn't be nice for little kids, but assuming Disney was on a budget, it's perfect for my 4-year-old, ditto for Small World, Peter Pan, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, especially if your crowd there is, I'd say, 5 or 6 and under.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Alien Springs, yeah. I mean, our daughter loves it. I mean, I think she wishes it was longer, but she has fun on it, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jess said, I enjoyed it more than I was expecting. Definitely not wanting more than waiting more than 5 minutes for it, though. I think she's referring to Alien Swirling Saucers.
Yeah. It does. I mean, it makes me laugh every time. When you go, you know, especially if you are riding with the kids and you know, you come around one of those little turns and you go sliding into them and you can't help it. Like, I've tried. Like, it is really hard not slide into the people. And it makes you laugh. I mean, so I do think they at least hit well on that. I've been thinking more and more about it. I wish they had an interactive queue. That could have put it exactly where it needed to be, even with the current ride system, I think. That could have saved it some.
I think so, too. Yeah. But, you know, potentially they could add stuff in later on. Potentially. Sure. So maybe they do. So.
Yeah.
And then Allie said about the restaurant, as long as the barbecue place isn't horrible, I think it will be a good addition. Even halfway decent barbecue is still good.
Yeah.
I mean, halfway decent barbecue has a lot going for it in that it's meat. So
yes, that is a good start.
You know, as long as it's not like chewing beef jerky, you know, you're doing decent in that sense.
Yeah. Yep. So I just have a feeling it's going to be like Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, which again is good.
Yeah.
I prefer their fried chicken is much better than their ribs. Like their ribs, if they didn't have the fried chicken, like the ribs are a saving, or the fried chicken's a saving grace over there. But I have a feeling it'll be kind of on that level. Because that's the thing that bothers, like, I oddly get sometimes that if you're making mass food, it can sometimes be hard to have the top-notch quality, but barbecue is not one of those foods. Like, barbecue should be made in mass quantities. Like, it's easier,
good barbecue,
I feel like.
Is.
Right. So that's the thing. Like, it can't even be an excuse. Like, well, you know, we really need to, like, barbecue is simple and easy if you just do a couple things right. And like, I have a feeling we're not going to see smoke coming up out of the back of this restaurant. Is going to be my thought.
Probably not.
Which is going to be indication that,
I think cooking meat it's very simple. It just comes down to, a lot of it is just patience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially when you're like talking smokers and things like that. Like, I've talked to, especially in Missouri, they all the time have like barbecue festivals. You know, I mean, you can have some amazing barbecue.
Yeah.
And you get talking to these guys and you're just like, you know, how'd you figure it out? And they're just like, oh, you know, I was just toying with it. And they're like, well, what's the one thing, like, you know, takeaway? And they'll be like, just be patient. Like, understand that you try stuff out, but he's like, it's not hard. Like, and I think that's too, it's like, it's not a difficult thing to do. And I think maybe for whatever reason for Disney, barbecue is, I think when it comes to pizza, I don't know what it is with Disney. Maybe with barbecue, they're just like, listen, we know we can do decent barbecue. Let's just do that.
Right.
Because they haven't really come up with anything pizza related. They tried the Pizza Rizzo, and that hasn't really gone over like gangbusters, I'd say.
Yeah.
But
I don't think they care. I think they know enough people will eat theme park pizza that it doesn't matter, sadly, which is a horrible, horrible excuse. But sometimes I just get that feeling. And then, like, they tried the ones at Pop Century. Those were delicious pizzas.
Those were actually pretty good.
I guarantee
pizzas.
It was too much work for the profit margin that they decided, you know what, we're still going to sell pizzas if we just pop a frozen one in this big oven, because people get back, they're hungry, they want something familiar, and that's what they're going to eat. And they abandoned that delicious artisanal pizzas that they had at Pop. Like,
those
it's got to be it.
Yeah. Those were weird. That was strange to have pizza at Disney. You're like, this is actually pretty good.
I sat multiple times outside of the movies under the stars and ate an entire one of those myself. They were perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just abandoned it.
You know, speaking of, I haven't made homemade pizza in a long time.
I do love some homemade pizza. I like to grill pizza. Grilling pizza.
I've never done that.
You get a nice crisp crust and all. It's fun.
Yeah. You were talking about smoker. I've been wanting to get a smoker, and then you brought it up the other day, and I'm like, I need to get a smoker.
I'll be getting one in like 3 weeks. I'll let you. Yeah. Once I get mine, because I'm starting to do the research, I'll let you know what I find.
Are you getting a deep freeze? I can just bring over meat and just put it in there.
That works.
What's Jared doing with that giant truck? Oh, he's just breathing.
I'll just have it turned on all the time. Just ready to go. Just
dumping meat in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a smoked pizza would be really good. I feel like that would be something that, yeah. I guess it'd make the crust. I don't know. You know what? I'm willing to experiment and try it. But hopefully Disney's is good. Couple more comments here. Allie said, I think they should add Sid and his trash truck to the character meet and greet.
Sid meet and greet would be cool.
That would be kind of funny.
I
kind of would.
I guess that'd have to be saved for like a villains style after hour party maybe.
Yeah, you could do some villain stuff with Toy Story. Yeah. You'd have Lotso Bear and Sid. And then,
the creepy dolls from the fourth one. I guess in the end, that Gabby technically was like, I don't know, she was creepy.
I haven't seen all the fourth one all the way through. Mm. I've seen bits and pieces. What was the Zurg? Zurg is the other one.
Yeah, Zurg, that's right. He'd be a good one. Yeah.
Jess said frozen chicken fingers tossed in barbecue sauce.
It wouldn't shock me.
I could see that.
Yeah, it would not shock me.
Guy said non-bread grilled pizza is the best. Ooh,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, if you get there's some good non-bread up at Publix, like prepackaged you can get. Yeah, throw that on the grill, warm it up, put your toppings on it, you're good to go.
Well, now
I want pizza tonight.
All right.
I might actually make pizza tonight.
Now. I have to go to Publix. I was going to go to Publix tomorrow because they have sushi.
Yeah, $5.
It's like
half
price sushi on Wednesdays.
Yep.
So I may. You know, I've heard of somebody say there's a sushi pizza, but that doesn't sound too appetizing to me.
I've been enjoying, if you make it up to the Durban Crossing area, you know, the new area that they've opened, like that Walmart, they just opened one of those katsu sushi burrito places. And that place is good. A sushi burrito is literally like taking a sushi roll and just making it giant.
Right.
But it's cool because it's set up like a Subway. So yeah, you can say, yeah, I want the whatever California sushi burrito, and they'll just make it as it is, or you can basically just build your own as you go. And then they do bowls and things like that, but their sushi burritos are so good.
I may have to try that. I've never had one of those.
It's awesome.
That sounds good. Well, now I'm hungry.
I know, me too. This is what happens.
We've done our jobs here. So, before we go, speaking of hunger and what we talk about in pre-show, this doesn't really have anything to do with hunger, but if you want great coffee, you should go to expeditionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15, and you'll save money on that coffee. You'll save 15%, plus you'll get great coffee. And we've been enjoying, I know Jeremy has been enjoying the Hook's Revenge, the Red Velvet Roast new flavor. I'm liking the black cookie. And I was telling him, I had an old bag and I kind of forgot I had it underneath. And then it was the New Orleans Praline is really good. I mean, that one's a solid, sneaky, one of the better ones, I think, because it's and I'm not really big on pralines, but it's something about that flavor combo I really enjoy.
Right.
But
yeah,
all the coffee's good. And sometimes we even talk about, we'll take, you know, like I use 4 tablespoons for the coffee. I'll do 2 of a bag and then 2 of like a regular roast and kind of have that really subtle flavor in there. Yeah. So good coffee, good people. They obviously are Disney and Universal and inspired. And it's a small business. So we like to support small business. And we've got to know the owners, and they're very good people and cool people. And they've got more stuff coming out. They got the pumpkin blend, I believe, is already out.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
So, and that one is very good. And then they got the hot cocoa as well. They got teas. They got tons of stuff. So, go to expeditionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15. All right. Anything else you want to mention before we go?
Before we go eat? Nope. I'm gonna go find food.
I did a very hard leg workout. And I'm like, I'm still hungry. Like when I do legs for some reason, I'm hungry for like hours, even though I've eaten.
I'm just hungry for hours. Man, I didn't do anything productive today. I'm just hungry.
just hungry. Yeah. I mean, I'm usually the same way on top of that too. Yep. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for the show. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Club 32, for joining us. And again, if you want to join Club 32, ctmvip.com. You can go join there. Helps us continue to grow the network. So, you know, obviously it takes resources, help us continue to upgrade equipment. And in return, we try and give you a bunch of stuff. So you think, you know, hopefully you feel like you're getting more than what you're even paying. That's kind of the goal we have. You can also go to ctm.show to check out all the shows. We've got, if you go to the menu bar there, you get main stmagic.com. You've got disdudes.com, ctmtriptails.com, all those. So go check them out if you're interested in the shows. And that'll do it. So we will see you guys next week.
Peace. So bye-bye.
Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.